As I said before, we are continuing our series through the Catechism. We come to the first petition, Hallowed be your name, after the opening of the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to be looking at Lord's Day 47 in just a moment. But first, let's read in our text from Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, after spending a considerable time in the chapter 11 talking about the glories of election and the saving of the nation of Israel and what that means and the gathering together of the lost and the making of the gathering together of the lost sheep. Paul concludes with these wonderful words in Romans 11. We're going to start at verse 33. So this is Romans 11 at verse 33. That's page 1100 in our black pew Bibles. Romans chapter 11 starting at verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. It's just bringing that glory to God, the glory that he deserves. That's the focus. Let's turn now in the back of our songbooks to Lord's Day 47. We just have one question and answer there, 122. If you'd like to read along, we'll confess the answer together. That's found on page 894. So this is Lord's Day 47, question and answer 122. I'll read the question. Let's respond with the answer together. Question and answer 122. What does the first petition mean? And the answer is, Hallowed be your name means, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. Your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. That's as far as reading in the Catechism. We pray for God's blessing upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we return to our series through the Lord's Prayer, after our introduction, we considered 3 weeks ago, what should the next concern be? If we were to prioritize the things that we pray for, what would be at the top of our list? Well, if your prayers are anything like my prayers, what tends to happen, what usually happens, is after we open our prayers, and we do a pretty good job of opening our prayers the correct way, we quickly divert into our own desires. Please grant this, please give this, please bless this. Our focus turns to our needs, our desires, and our wants. And it seems that even in prayer, when we enter prayer, we can even sometimes be self-seeking in our thoughts and in our words. But as we learned with the Ten Commandments, when it comes to keeping the Ten Commandments, the first table of the law is loving God first and foremost. Loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that comes first, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. Adoration, our catechism high school students learned that this morning. Adoration is the first aspect in that acronym, A-C-T-S, ACTS. Adoration of God comes first. Supplication, what we ask of God, comes last. Remember that God knows all of our needs, and we are told when it comes to prayer, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. We tend to focus, however, on our desires and not God's glory. But today, we are instructed in God's word. We are reminded in God's word that we are to seek God's honor, his glory, his praise, that his majesty is to ever be before our eyes, that God's name, that his reputation would be hallowed. would be magnificent and glorious for all mankind to acknowledge. We desire, when it comes to prayer, the first thing that we desire to see happen is that God would receive the acknowledgement that He deserves. Even before we think of ourselves and what humanity needs, we are thinking of giving glory to our God. That is our first desire. So this evening we consider this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us to pray first of all for the strength to hallow or to honor God's name. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ is teaching us to pray first of all for the strength to hallow God's name. As we begin, we remember that this is a petition. As a petition, it is a desire. It is something that we are asking for. We are asking God to give us something so that we can give God something. Well, what are we asking God to give us? We are asking God to give us, first of all, a knowledge and understanding of who God is. So that when we speak to God and we acknowledge who God is, we are rightly praising Him as is right and true. And perhaps an illustration will help. We as human beings cannot make the sun shine any brighter. But we can take off our shades, take off our sunglasses, so that we can see the brightness of the sun as it is. When it comes to honoring God, we are not praying that God would somehow become more glorious. He is perfectly glorious. We are not asking the sun to be brighter. But what we are asking is we are asking the Holy Spirit to take off our sunglasses so that, those darkened shades would be removed so that we could see the brightness of the sun, that we could see the glory of God in keeping with truth. We are praying that the Spirit would give us eyes to see, open our hearts so that we would receive the instruction so that we can see the light of truth, remove the veil of our blindness because we want to see Your holiness. We want to see Your goodness, Your majesty, Your honor, so that we praise You as You deserve. Psalm 8, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Now, children, what does it mean to magnify something? When we talk about magnifying God's name, what does it mean to magnify? Well, in what context do we use the word to magnify? Well, to magnify usually means to make something bigger, right? So when we are talking about magnifying God's name, how are we making God's name bigger? Well, it can be done in one of two ways. We use magnification with a microscope and with a telescope. In which one of those two ways is our magnifying God most similar? Well, when we are magnifying God's name, we are not magnifying God like we were putting God under a microscope to make something that is small appear bigger. That is not what we are doing when we are magnifying God's name. However, we are doing what is similar to what is done with a telescope. When you use a telescope, you are looking at the planets or the stars, which are immensely huge and vast and glorious and bright, and we are simply making it more evident to see more clearly what is true. That is what we are doing when we magnify God's name. We are bringing ourselves to see closer to what is reality. We magnify God's greatness, being made more evident to ourselves to see who He is and what He has done. We start with praying for wisdom for our own hearts. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding. Help me to see. But the next question is, how do we learn about God? How do we see God's majesty? In what ways or in what manners do we learn about God? How are we to rightly magnify God if we don't know who God is? So the question before us is this: how has God revealed Himself? Perhaps you remember this in the Belgic Confession, Article 2. God has revealed Himself to us in two principal ways. First, in creation. In this world around us, we see God's power and might. We see His wisdom and His care and in sustaining and making and sustaining all things that He has made. And the second way that we come to know God, to see God more clearly, is in reading His Word. As the Belgic Confession says, God has made Himself more clearly or more perfectly known in His Word. So if we want to praise God better, we have to know God better. In order to give Him the glory that He deserves, we have to see how glorious He is. So what do? We look at creation and we look at God's Word. In fact, we look at creation through God's Word, through the spectacles of Scripture, as Calvin would say, so that we understand properly this world is declaring its Maker's praise. And the Word of God reveals the glory of our God. Psalm 145, God's glorious splendor and wondrous works speak of His awesome deeds and tell of His power. So let my mouth speak the praise of the Lord. Or Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and His commandments give light to the eyes. That's Psalm 19. Thus we eagerly, when we come to God in prayer, we are asking God to give us the Holy Spirit so that we can understand the Scriptures, that we can understand who God is and what He has done, so that we would be faithful students and give God the glory that He deserves. As question answer 122 says, God's power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. Help us to see these things. Help us to know these things. So just let's very quickly speak about one example. We want to know God's power. How do we know God's power? Well, we can know God's power by looking at the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the firmaments which You have made. Look at the expanse of this solar system. It takes approximately 8 minutes for light to travel from the sun to the earth. 8 minutes. And it takes 4 years for light to travel to the earth from the next closest star. 4 years. Light traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. That's the speed of light. 186,000 miles per second. And that light takes 4 years to make it here. And what does Isaiah say? God measures the heavens with His fingers. Here's the earth. Here's the sun. Here's the next star. He measures them all. That is how powerful. He knows them all by name. Everyone is put in its place. Such is the unfathomable power of our God, which moves us to say, what is man that You are mindful of him? The Son of Man that You care for him? You are such an amazing, awesome, superior, omnipotent, all-powerful God, and yet You have considered me a little grasshopper, a little ant on the face of this earth. Let His name be glorified for His power, or consider His justice and His mercy. God is just, and as a just God, He demands that His justice be paid, that His justice be satisfied. The justice of God demands man sinned, man must pay for sin. And the sin of man, one sin of man, plunged the entire humanity into depravity and purchased the wrath of God, which is eternity in hell, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The justice of God, which poured out fiery flames on Sodom and Gomorrah, or the rising flood, or the justice at the Red Sea. God is just, but He is also merciful. In His mercy, He spared Noah and Moses and the Israelites. In mercy, He spared for Himself a people, promising someone to be born of a woman, the seed of a woman who would crush the head of the serpent. And although the way to the tree of life was guarded, was forbidden, that access has been granted to us, as Revelation 22 says. The way to life and life eternal granted to us through Jesus Christ, the author and prince of life. His justice, and His mercy. That's why when we look at creation around us and we read God's Word, we acknowledge what is true, and then we praise God as He deserves. We are moved to honor and glorify and praise Him for all His works, which shine forth so clearly in this world and in His Word. So we, first of all, in praying this petition, Lord, help me to be a faithful student of Your Word, a faithful student of creation. But it doesn't stop there. We want to move beyond being faithful students to being faithful worshipers. As every teacher here will testify, there is a world of difference between a passive student and an engaged student. In praying this petition, we are praying, Lord, make me a faithful student, but a faithful student that moves into an engaged worshiper, so that I'm moved by what I see to praise You as You deserve. So question and answer 122 says, help me to really know You. That's our first point. But then in knowing You, to honor, glorify, and praise You for all Your works. We read that in Romans 11, didn't we? Romans 11, after that chapter that talks about election and God saving the Israelites and what that means and how He's gathering together His lost and not one of His elect will be lost. And then what happens at the end of Romans 11 is Paul can't contain himself anymore. He's been talking about the different doctrines of election and predestination, and then he just breaks forth into this doxology of praise. Theology, good theology, leads to good worship. So he says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. And he closes by saying, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. Good theology leads to good worship. Knowing God, pouring, pondering over His works leads into praise. So in praying this prayer, we are saying, Lord, help me to be a faithful student, but help me also to be a faithful worshiper. Enable me to praise You, know You, bless You, worship You, and honor You as You deserve. But the reason this is a prayer is because sometimes we don't feel like it. The reason this is part of the Lord's Prayer. Remember the disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus, knowing our need, taught the disciples and teaches us the first thing you need to pray for, my disciples, is you need to pray for the Spirit to give you a heart that acknowledges God and worships Him as He deserves. Because of our weakness, because of our sin, because we're tired, we're forgetful, we neglect what we are called to do, this petition is on our lips and on our hearts. Lord, move me. By Your Spirit, awaken me. If creation is moved to praise You, Psalm 145, verse 10 says that all His works give Him praise, how much more the recipients of His redemptive love and saving grace. So in praying this prayer, we are praying to the Spirit, Lord, stir my heart, kindle a flame, move me so that I worship You, that I'm not content with knowing things about You, that I praise You. 1 Corinthians 10, whatever I do, whether it's eating or drinking, doing everything to the praise of God. Isn't that what the chief end of man is? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever? That's what we were made for. God made us to glorify Him because He deserves it. Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Children, do you have breath in your lungs? Then you are called to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The chief way in which we show God that we are thankful is in our prayers. In our prayers, we acknowledge what is true and we thank God for the blessings that He has given. That's why we read from Romans 11, which ends, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is our desire. But it is a desire with a definite end. When Christ comes back, knowledge of the Lord will cover this earth as water fills the sea. In heaven, all creation will spend all day and all night, every breath, every moment, every ounce of our being, giving God the glory and honor and praise that He deserves. But our desire is, Lord, make what will be true in eternity present and evident today. Help me to start right now what I'll be doing for all eternity, which is praising You, which is glorifying Your name. But there remains one more aspect. In our first point, we prayed, Lord, make me a faithful student. In our second point, make me a faithful worshiper. In our final point, we find that knowing God and worshiping God leads to a life of obedience that shows others God's glory. So we pray, Lord, teach me so that I can be a faithful worshiper, but also instruct me so that I might live in such a way that others might see in me what I do and what I say, and in turn glorify You. Help me to live in such a way. Help me to speak in such a way so that those who don't know You might come to know You and praise You, and those that do know You are encouraged to do it all the more. Hebrews 10 puts it this way, do not neglect to meet together, but encourage one another. Do you know that one of the aspects or one of the byproducts of faithful worship, of your coming here to worship God rightly, is that you are encouraging other people to worship God rightly? Your presence, and once again I acknowledge it's the evening service, but your presence at church encourages other people to come here and to worship God. Did you know that with your songs and hymns and spiritual songs, you're not only worshiping God as He deserves, you are encouraging your fellow brothers and sisters to worship God as He deserves? Your presence and your singing is an encouragement and a blessing to them? That's what Colossians 3 says, teach and admonish one another with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart. So when we gather together as a church, we are encouraging each other, admonishing each other to praise God rightly, but we also have an eye to this world. We look outside and we think and we pray, Lord, help me to live, help me to speak in such a way that I would not bring dishonor, but rather that I would bring honor to Your name, so that all people will praise You. That's Psalm 67. Let all people praise You. There is a missional desire in this petition. Help us as a church to rightly worship You, and help me to be faithful in my calling and my day-to-day living, whether that's at work or in the home or in the school, so that others see my godly living and hear my grace-filled, salt-seasoned words and glorify You. Isn't that what Peter says? Peter puts it this way, keep your conduct honorable among the Gentiles so they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Help me to live a godly life so that others would be drawn into the fold and unite their hearts and their voices with the songs of praise. Question is 122. Help me to direct all of my living so that Your name would be honored and praised. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men so that they might see your good deeds and glorify God. So it's our desire as God's people to encourage other people to worship God as He deserves. We're not content to be individual. We're not content to be faithful students and faithful in our own individual worship. That's why we are called together to corporate worship, so that we can encourage each other, but also that we can encourage the watching world to come to know and praise God because He deserves it. He deserves all of our praise. And as we are made holy by the Holy Spirit, we better reflect the holiness of our God so that others too would acknowledge that He deserves our praise. To conclude, this is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. And as the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, it reorients our lives. It reorients our prayer, but it reorients our lives. What are we praying for? What are we living for? Why are you here? Not just here at church, but why are you on this earth? Why did God put you here? Why does He put breath into your mouth? Well, the psalm says if you have breath, that breath is supposed to praise God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Your desire as God's people, your desire is, Lord, give me the eyes to see so that I'm a faithful student, that I understand what is true. And then help me to be moved by what I've learned to respond, to reflect, to praise you, God, because you deserve it. And then help me to live and to speak in such a way that others too might be encouraged to praise your holy name. Lord, give me the eyes to see. Give me the mouth to speak of your majesty, to magnify your name. So we pray. Hallowed be your name. We can't make the sun any brighter. We cannot make God more glorious. But we can pray, Lord, cause the eyes of those in this world to see. Take away their shades. Take off their sunglasses. Help them to see what is true. Dispel the veil. Move the clouds so that we can see what is true. You are glorious. Your name is to be hallowed, magnified. You deserve our praise. So today we see Jesus Christ teaches us to pray for the strength to hallow, to honor God's name first. So when we pray, let this be on our hearts. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this petition here that reminds us, that reorients our lives so that we are living not for ourselves, not for our own praise and glory, but for your praise, for your glory, for your honor, because you alone are holy. You alone deserve all the praise that we can give and will ever give. So may it be in our lives that we are faithful students. May it be that we are faithful in bringing our worship to you. And may we in our speaking and in our living show others that you deserve our praise and you are holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our